Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. You know, after over 2,000 years of false teachings and doctrines, it's very, very difficult to find the real truth. And because there have been so many deceptions, because the people, the leaders, the rulers have given themselves over to their own ways and their own ideas and have rejected God and have turned their back on God, we're in the deep trouble that we are in today. And people look around and wonder, why would things come like this recent hurricane on the East Coast called Frankenstorm?
The East Coast is being pummeled with the power of a record-breaking superstorm.
Wash everything away!
90-mile-per-hour winds, driving rain, record-breaking high tides, and rough surf lash the coastline as the storm made landfall in southern New Jersey. The mid-Atlantic and southern New England shores hit hard by flooding. North Carolina has been pounded by Sandy for over 50 hours. Roads have been washed away, and this house in Rodanthe swept into pieces.
Well, let's find out the biblical reasons. Let's realize the truth. Can you handle the truth? Do you want the truth? Or do you want to be lied to? Do you want nice, warm, fuzzy words that are lying words? Do you want people who are going to be leaders who will be honest in the business of government, in the business of education, who fear God, who love God, who will teach the children, who will lead the people, not for themselves, not for power, not for aggrandizement? Where are they? How far have we gone astray? How long has it been? Well, evil has taken over everything we do incrementally. And it has become such a bundle of mess, all woven together, trapping so-called innocent people in it, that it's almost impossible to be extirpated from the situation. But it all begins with your individual personal life between you and God. And that's why Church at Home, you're not going to hear in your church unless you have someone who's really preaching the Word of God, and I mean all the Word of God, not just the Word of God that feels good, not just the Word of God that brings in money while the preachers and prophets and ministers and priests merchandise the people. And the people need to demand truth. And it begins by you need to demand truth in your life. Because you see, all of these events, like I mentioned, 32 natural disasters in 2010. And what is it going to be for the coming year, 2013? We're looking at economic disaster because we have a lying banking system contrary to the Word of God. We're looking at an educational system that has rejected God and have the superpower elite who worship Satan the devil directly running and controlling nearly everything that there is. Why did that happen? Because people forgot God. People rejected God. So now, here we are at a point that is very difficult indeed. Now let's come to Isaiah, the 30th chapter. Verse 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who carry out a plan but not of me, who form an alliance but not by my spirit, that they might add sin to sin, all under the guise of, we will help you. We will take care of you." So all of the institutions become a substitute for God. and evil and wicked men get in positions of power in high places and further destroy it, all because the people do not want God. Oh, they say they do. Do you? Do you want God? Do you want Jesus Christ? Do you want God the Father and Jesus Christ spiritually in your life? Or do you want to keep living the way that you're living and demand that God bless you while you live in sin? Now, that's like saying, put out the fire by throwing gasoline on it. It isn't going to work. Now, let's read what it is here. Verse 8, go now, write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book so that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Words of prophecy for this generation. Words of prophecy for every individual, every village, every city, every town, every state, every country. Here it is. That this is a rebellious people, lying children. They are children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Again, take the Ten Commandments. Who is your God? Do you have any idols, statues, crosses, crucifixes, rosaries? You're an idolater, and God does not honor idolaters. Do not take the name of God in vain. All the ministers and preachers do it who come and preach in the name of the Lord and say he has said when he hasn't said. When they say of Sunday, this is the day the Lord has made. Yeah, he made the day, but not for that purpose. He specially created the Sabbath, the seventh day, called Saturday today. And do you think that there is any man, any group of men, any council of men, any of those sanctified by a so-called religious leader or government leader that is going to march up to the throne of God and say, God, we don't like your Sabbath day. We're changing it to Sunday because it's more convenient for the people. That we want more people in the church who used to be sun worshipers, and it'll be a whole lot easier for them to come to services to hear about Jesus on Sunday than on the Sabbath, because that is Jewish. I just summarized a great span of history, of which you probably know very little about. Now, I've heard comments about people referring to some things that I preach. Oh, he preaches hell, fire, brimstone, and blood. It's awfully hard to listen to him. Well, is it not easier to listen to it and learn and repent than to witness it and see it before your very eyes? You ask the question, what do you want? See, people are warned and warned and warned and warned and warned, and they've had the Bible, they've had all the Word of God there, but they won't read it, they won't listen to it, they won't follow it, they won't obey it, but they will sure enough follow a man. Well, let me tell you, no man can save you. And unless whoever you're going to follow really preaches the Word of God, why would you ever want to follow them? Oh, well, he's nice. Really? Satan smiles and cracks a lot of jokes. Very friendly. Yes. So he can deceive people. You know how little children are indoctrinated into evil? With cartoons. Oh, those lovely little stories. Yes, indeed. So you think about it. Most people don't want to think. Most people want to react with emotion. Now, the only way you're going to find God is to repent of the wrong emotion and have the right emotion and begin to think and believe God. Notice what it says here. Who say to the seers, see not. Oh no, don't tell us the prophecies in the future. Oh, that's evil. That's terrible. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Oh yes, how good we are. How successful we will be. How we have a hip pocket or purse pocket Jesus right with us. Prophesy illusions. Oh yes, tell us false things. We want to believe in those. Well, I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen some years down the road. All the signs are pointing to it. This nation will eventually collapse unless there is mass repentance to God. And it's going to be death and doom and destruction because you have been deceived. And it's going to be evil, and it's going to be treacherous, and it is going to be beyond belief. You want smooth things? You live in an illusion. You believe in a false reality. Because that's not the way that it is. Now, there are a lot of well-intentioned people out there. There are a lot of people who are not dedicated to evil, and yet they really don't understand that they have forgotten God while they pretend they remember Him. So here's what they say. Verse 11. Go out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Now what happens? Right at the crossroads. Every time these things take place, we're at the crossroads. And as a matter of fact, when you really understand it, every day is a crossroad. Which way will you choose? Which way will you go? What will you do? Who will you serve? Who do you love? Do you really want the true God? Do you really want the righteousness of God? Well, if not, eventually, it's all going to become like Frankenstorm. Destruction beyond repair. Death in multitudes of numbers unheard of. See, because God is not to be treated lightly. These are warnings from God. Will we heed it? Or will we stand up in our vanity and say, how great we are. We're going to rebuild. We're going to do this. Fine, do it. But unless you build your spiritual life, is it going to last? Is it going to work? Let's read on. Verse 12. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you have despised this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and rely on them. Look at the state of the society, and does that not tell it exactly as it is? Yes, indeed, it does. You see, right now, we're all kind of like Lot, stuck in Sodom, oppressed by it, lawlessness, multiplied, abounding. You want to go down and live on the streets in the middle of your big city where you live? Why, even here in the little town that we live in, parents don't let their children walk to school anymore. No, because there are pedophiles, there are kidnappers, there are perverts, there are killers. So they drive them, pick them up, take them home from school, take them to school. And then at school, who can you trust? How many teachers are perverts? Let's read on. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly, in an instant. Bam! Exactly like the hurricane hit. You ever been in a tropical storm or hurricane? The ground shakes, the wind blows, the waves crash.
The winds are howling 50, 60 miles per hour.
And you're sitting there, oh God, please deliver me. Now we may rebuild, we may recover, we may do some of these things. But notice, verse 14, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is smashed in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water out of the pit. How bad is it going to get? Not so bad it's going to get. Now let's come back to Jeremiah, the second chapter here. Let's see what God says. All of these events that take place, God is saying, I'm warning you. God warned about the fires like we had last summer. God warned about the storms that we have seen. God has warned about our conduct. He has warned about our relationship with Him. He has warned us about what we're doing to the great land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in which we're living today. So God says, verse 9, therefore I will contend with you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will contend. So he says, now go over Kittim, look at this nation, look at that nation, look at the other nation, and ask the question. And look at what we have done. Look at what has even happened to conservative Protestant Christianity, even with Sunday keeping. It's all falling apart. That's why you need our book, Lord, What Should I Do? You need to know what you should do. We're living in difficult and treacherous times. And I'm here to tell you by the Word of God, if you think they're going to get better for very long, you're greatly mistaken. If there is any improvement, it will only be temporary. Because we have the Himalaya mountain of debt. Hundreds of trillions of dollars of debt, government, federal, state, local, government entities, federal, state, local, cities, towns, villages, and it's all going to collapse. That financial collapse is going to be the greatest destroying avalanche that has ever been in the history of the world. And if you don't believe that, look at Europe right now. They are there. And we're racing toward it headlong because we have our hearts and minds on our things and on ourselves and not on God. So God asked the question, has a nation changed their gods who are yet no gods? No, they haven't. They've been there for thousands of years. But God says, but my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be amazed, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be utterly desolated, says the Lord. I want you to think hard on this next verse, because this tells it really like it is. Verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. And that's exactly what we have done. We have taken the Word of God, which is precious and true and right, and we have changed it into something that is a perversion and a rejection of God while we profess God, while we profess Jesus, while we profess to be good people, while we do many good things, and yet we don't do it to God. Here's what we're going to learn. Here's what God says is going to happen. Can we handle this? Can we understand? Now, you see, there comes a point in time, like it was in the days of Jeremiah. God gave warning after warning after warning after warning. He even said, look, if you just quit breaking the Sabbath, conducting your own business, doing your own pleasure, and will worship me, if you will just put away your Baal worship, your sun worship, and worship me, if you will just deal rightly, correctly, according to my laws, I won't send you into captivity. I won't destroy this nation. But if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. Because God says, here's how he's going to bring the correction. Verse 17, have you not brought this on yourself in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you by the way? Now what profit is there in going the way of Egypt to drink the waters of Shihor? Or what have you to do in the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the river? Your own evil shall correct you, and your backsliding shall reprove you. Therefore know and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. Do you understand that? Think about it for a minute. Have we rejected God out of our government? Have we rejected God out of our schools? Have we rejected God out of our churches? Have we forsaken the truth and the laws of God to keep them? All of those we can answer yes. Well, understand that punishment from God comes because of doing so, and he rewards us according to our own evil. So we're right at a crossroad as a nation, and many people are right at a crossroad in their lives. And what crossroad are you on right now, today? Will you repent and love God? Will you stop your sinning? Will you cease your lying? Will you reject your Sabbath breaking? Will you forsake Sunday keeping? Will you really repent and receive the Holy Spirit of God after baptism? What is it that you're going to do with your life? God wants to know. Now let's come to verse 23 in Jeremiah, the second chapter. How can you say, I'm not defiled, I've not gone after Balaam? See your way in the valley and know what you have done. You are a swift camel traveling its way, a wild donkey used to the wilderness. In the desire of her passion, she sniffs at the wind in her time of mating. Who can turn her away? Verse 26. As a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed, their kings, their rulers, their priests, and their prophets, saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone you gave me birth. For they have turned their back to me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble they will say, arise and save us. Now, isn't that something? I wonder how many people in the storm said, oh, God, save us. Oh, God, spare our homes. Oh, God, do this and do that. But what are they going to do when they finally get back? Are they going to remember it? Is it going to be a turning point in their lives? How will it be? Yes, how will it be? That's why you need the book, Lord, What Should I Do? And you also need to get a really good Bible. And we have one for you. It's called the Holy Bible in its original order, based on truth. It'll tell you how the Bible was preserved, Who wrote it? When was it canonized? What are the order of the books? And it is especially designed so you can recapture original Christianity for today, so that you can know and understand the Word of God. We have no politics to fulfill, but we love and fear God and speak the truth and do the things that God wants us to do. And we yield to God every day to do the things that He desires. We're not in it for ourselves. We're not in it for money. We are in it so that you can learn about God and seek God and find God and return to God, and so that you can be saved from all of these difficult things that are going to come. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.